Good afternoon. Today we are going to talk about when a Bari Pri Ha'etz turns into a Shehakol. And the first part of our section, our discussion, is the conclusion of yesterday's shiur, when we talked about juice and soup broth, vegetable soup broth. To very quickly chazer what we saw yesterday, there's one gemara that says, seemingly, that on juice you make a shehakol, because it's Zeh B'Alma. Then there's another gemara that tells us that on vegetable broth you make a the first bracha says on juice you make a shehakol, Zeh B'Alma. The second bracha says on vegetable broth you make a Bari Pri Adama. The Mei Shlakos are like the Shlakos. The question is, what's the difference? So we saw a number of answers. The Ritva basically says taka, it's a stira, and the second bracha doesn't actually tell you that on vegetable broth you make a hadama. Vegetable broth you'd make a shehakol also. You always make a shehakol. The only time the Gemara says you'd make hadama is if you happen to also have some vegetables in your soup. The Rabbeinu Yonah says it depends if it's nishtane le'iluya or le'griusa. According to the Rush, there's a difference between juice and broth. In the case of broth, there's tam ha-yarek and tam kikr, and therefore you make a adama. But in the case of the juice, so it's only zeya, and the zeya doesn't have the tam ha-pri. And we explained that at length, according to the Rashba, it depends whether it's the derech or not. And then we talked about the Rambam and sugar. Now, halacha l'maisa, then, what would come out from these Rishonim in terms of, let's say, orange juice? Orange juice, as we noted yesterday, is it's likely most oranges are used for juice. I think I couldn't find worldwide statistics, but I did a little research. Most the biggest producer of oranges in the world is Brazil. And most of those oranges are exported, not as fresh oranges. So it seems to me that it's very likely. It could be in America, there's total more oranges that are not juiced. Couldn't figure that out. But even then, the oranges that are juice oranges are juiced, and they're not the adai d'hachi. So, therefore, one could make a very strong argument that according to the Rashba, you should make a Bari Pri Ha'etz on orange juice. However, the Pashup Shad is the Rush would disagree. We'll see in a moment that the way the Mishnah Berurah understands this is a machlokas between the Rush and the Rashba, and it's a safek, and we say safek brachos lahakel, in which case halach l'maisi would make a shahakel. We saw that maybe you could say the Rush would agree based on his psak and sugar, but that's not a raya. You could go either way on the Rush. According to Rabbeinu Yonah, you could possibly say you would make a ha'etz. It's not ishtani l'griusa necessarily, and that would depend on the two answers. If you say going from an ochel to a mashke is griusa, then it would be shehakol according to Rabbeinu Yonah. If you held to the other answer of Rabbeinu Yonah, could be that it's not ishtani l'griusa, it's only in the case of bread that it's different, or the barley, because it can't be bread. According to the Rambam, though, l'chora, it would have to be shehakol. And that's going to be very important. Why is it true that according to the Rambam it has to be shehakol? Because the Maitz says it's zeya. And if so, since we paskin like Shitas HaRambam by sugar, that you make a shehakol, right? We don't make Haitzer Adam on sugar. We paskin that it's a shehakol. That's in the Shulchan Aruch Reish Beis Sif Tes Vav. Unless you say that we don't paskin, we paskin like the Rambam Shalomi Taimei, that's a very good reason that you would make a shehakol. Moreover, certainly according to the Ritva Nera'a, you make a shehakol, like we said, on juice. Moreover, I think that you could bring a raya from a number of the Rishonim Imsachim, including the Tosas Imsachim, the Tosa Rush, the Ran, and others there, who all say that the reason why Zeisim Ve'anavim, or Yayin and Shemin, is not Zeya Be'alma, is a Gzeres HaKasav. In other words, they ask the Kasha, and they say it's a Gzeres HaKasav by Yayin V'Shemin, it's a Drasha Gemura. If so, well, there's no Gzeres HaKasav by orange juice, so presumably it would still be shahakal. And therefore, it seems to me that the psak of that the olam is noheg of saying a shahakal on orange juice makes a lot of sense. Now, we'll get to the Shulchan Aruch in a moment. However, in light of our analysis yesterday, it would seem that it's quite reasonable to argue that on something like coffee, you should make a chayitz. Why? Because coffee should be just like mei shlakos. You go ahead and you cook the coffee in the water, and the coffee gives the water the taste of coffee. It's basically how you make coffee. This is in fact a big machlokas achronim. What's the proper brach on coffee? And I think you'll only have this if you have the updated version of the Maror Makomos. The prach, the panim iros, and a couple of tshuvos thinks that theoretically the correct tshuva bracha should be on both coffee and tea to make a haitz or hadama, what's appropriate. The prach mata aron disagrees. He thinks you make a shahakol. The Shvus Yaakov discusses it. Now, what would be the reason to make a shahakol on coffee and tea? And again, obviously, that's the minhag olam. So, if you put sugar and milk into your coffee, so then you could make a very strong case. Why? Because what's the ikker? I'll say, of course the coffee's the ikker, because that's why it's called coffee. Not so clear, because there's no mamash or so coffee, it's just the tam. So what's contributing to the taste is other things as well, and we'll get to this in a moment when we talk about chocolate. But chocolate's much worse, because chocolate, there is mamash or so cocoa. Here, it's just the tam of the tam, and when you have multiple things that contribute to the tam, we'll say zev zegorem, and make a shahakol. L'mashal l'ma davar domeh. We're going to see in a moment, the Shulchan Aruch, based on the Rush, writes that if you have vegetable soup with some meat in it, even if you're not eating the meat, so you make a shahakol. Vegetable soup that's plain, even if you're just eating the broth, is hadama, mei shlakos. But let's say you put meat into the vegetable soup to be mosif tam. And again, the meat's just there for tam. You don't even put meat in, you put a bone in to give it a tam of meat. So then you make a shahakol. And if you look at the Bura, we'll get there in a moment, it sounds like no matter what you make a shahakol. It's a little strange, because why? Because he says meat is more chashiv. But why don't we go busser the rove, let's say. Let's say you had a dish which was rove vegetables, a lot of vegetables, and you put in a little bit of meat. Right? Would you go ahead and make a shahakol because there's a little meat and meat is more chashev? So why does the Mishnah Berurah write that by soup you always make a shahakol because of the meat? Well, maybe the theory is as follows. Remember, here we're not, let's say, the vegetable broth. Let's say you're just having the broth, right? Because if you had actually vegetables, and you might make hadama, especially if you hold to that ritva, right? But let's say it's just the broth. So what's contributing to the taste of the broth? Vegetables and meat. Well, there might be more vegetables than meat, but we're only following tam, because the only reason why you might make hadama here is based off of, if you hold to the rush as far as, because there's such a thing as tam ki'ikar. And when you have two contributions towards tam, even though one might be much more, who's to say that more is more important? So it makes more sense, you'll go baser the chashav, or at least say zev zeh gorim, and make a shahakol. And that being the case, if you have milk and sugar in your coffee, then there could be a very strong case to make a shahakol. But what if you have black coffee, plain, no sugar, no milk? So what reason could there be? So again, if you hold that there's this rule that drinks have to be shahakol, then that would be a reason. But I think that there's no strong evidence to that in the Rishonim. So the reason, I think, the best reason would be because we're choshesh for that Tshuvas Harash that we saw yesterday. And the Mishnah Berurah more or less brings it down. I think not in the name of the Rush, in the name of an achron, but it really is the Tshuvas HaRash, that, remember, what did the Rush say? The Rush said that when do we say this din of Meishlakos? Only when the taste is a byproduct. You're planning to cook the vegetables, and as a and memela, the water is flavored by the vegetable taste, but your purpose is to cook the vegetables. Now, if that's the case, so then certainly when it comes to coffee, the bracha is going to be shehakol. It's not like you're interested in the coffee being cooked. All that cooking is only for the purpose of the water, for making the coffee. And therefore, if we hold of that rush, the proper bracha would be shakal. And I didn't see anyone that makes quite that analysis, but I think it makes sense. Now let's just look at some of the, very briefly, the Shulchan Aruch and Mishnah Berurah inside, and then we will go on to the continuation. So the Shulchan Aruch, starting on source 7, says, this is a Reish Beis Ches, Dvash Hazav Me'atmar Mevarech Alav Shakal, V'chein Kol Mashken Hayotzin Mikol Minei Peiros Chut Mizeis V'anav Mevarech Shakal. So that sounds exactly like who? Like the Rush. Because according to the Rush, but it's going to depend. It's going to depend on whether it's regular or not. So the Mishnah Berurah says yes, but maybe not. Why not? Maybe we're Mesupik. It's Machlokas Rush Rush, but we say Sefik Rachos Lakal, and that's why it's so same here, that all juices are always shahakal. Could also be that there was no such drink as a juice that was rove, that would be ha'etz, according to the Rashba, right? The Rashba doesn't seem to be talking about a practical case. We haven't, until the 20th century, there was never a situation of a drink that were a fruit that was primarily squeezed. At least that's what it would seem. Mm-hmm. Except for olive oil and wine.
Orange juice is such a new phenomenon?
I don't know. 19th century? I don't know what it is. I'm just saying that in the Tshuva Svarim that I've seen, this is a 20th century question. Or 19th and 20th century question, for sure. Anyway. So says the Mishnah Berurah, Al Mashkin. So what are examples of juices that you make a shakal on? Kegon yein tapuchim v'chia gavna. Okay. The Shaar Tzion says, Osan peiro sherov achilasan hu al yidei schita. Da'as harashbat mevarchin al meimei schita san kemosan. So according to the Rashba, let's say an orange juice you'd make ka'etz. Aval da'as harash b'chol gavni mevarch shakal. We'll talk about it in a moment when we get to the second part of today's shiur, which is, could you say orange juice is different, especially if it has the pulp, that it's not just the zeya. In other words, basically it's taking everything and just leaving the psoilas. And we'll talk about that svar shortly. Shulchan Aruch in Reish Hei Beis, now we're looking at the halacha and broth, Amayim Shebishlu B'hem Yirakos, vegetable broth, Mivarech habracha atzma she mivarech al yirakos atzman to make adama afal pishen ban el atama yarek. Certainly, if you have vegetable soup with vegetables, but even if you have vegetable soup with just broth, v'hani milik she bishlam below basar avlan bishlam im basar mivarech shakol, like we said. Says the Mishnah Berurah, v'dafkan she shalkan kedei lachol games hayirakos. This was that rush, right? So then, so I think this is the reason why coffee is shakal. Apparently they used to have this drink on Pesach. They would, it sounds like they would cook apples and then throw out the apples and just drink the juice. Right? Apple juice. I don't know how, I mean, they didn't crush the apples to make the apple juice. They would cook the apples, and then the tam would come out. So that's shehakol. Imbasar. So here's what we said before, that's because it's yirakos, because it's chashav yoser. Ah. Not clear in terms of whether this would be true for the rashba. In other words, for the rashba, if you had some meat, but mostly vegetables, since the Rashba would say that the Meish Lakos are Kilo the Irakos Atzman, then you might say Hadama still, if the rov is vegetables. But we're choshish for the rush, and therefore, if you have vegetable soup with meat, you make a shahakol. So this is Shulchan Aruch, Sachdan, Mevarech al Osan, Mashkin Shahakol. Right, Mishneh Berurah quotes the Rush. In the Shaar Tzion, he says that the Mechaber here, the section of the Mechaber later on, Reish Beis Sif Yud, is so same, like the, brings down the Rashba, right? Where do we see that? Just skip down a little later. Perish Sharan in Bishlam B'mayim, Af Al Pi Shenichnas Tam Hapri B'mayim, Enu Avarich Al Osam El Shahakol. That Rash Kasav De Efshar Shenichnas Tam Hapri B'mayim Mivarich Bar Pri Had Eitz. So he quotes the Machlokas Rush and Rashba in the Shulchan Aruch. And the Shaar Tzion says basically it's a suffik, whether we pass on like the Rush or the Rashba, so therefore you should always make a Shahakol and any of the potential Nafkaminas. But it's a Nafkamina that it's a suffik because Ulafiza Lachor Bidiavid and Birech Bore Priyadama Yatza. Right? So the Nafkamina would be, let's say if I did make a Ha'etz on orange juice, I'm Yotze Bidiavid. Now that's going to be very important. Let's say for breakfast I'm having a cup of an apple and a cup of orange juice. So if I go ahead and follow the Seder Kedima of Ibrachos and I make a Bore Pri Eitz on my apple, then maybe, according to the Rashba, I cannot make a Shahakol on my orange juice. That would be a Bracha Sheina Tzricha. So presumably, in that case, the best thing to do would be to make your shahakol on your orange juice first, and then your Bore Pri Ha'etz on your apple. Because the Mishneh Berurah says it's a suffik brachos, and b'di'eved, we do follow the Rashba. And therefore, this is what you should do.
Well, couldn't you just make the Pri Ha'etz on the apple and have in mind that it doesn't cover the juice?
So that's questionable whether it works. We'll talk about that and whether you should do it. In other words, you can't, if you're planning to eat both of them and they're both in front of you, and there's a question, it's not pashat, but there's a question whether I could have in mind to limit it. This gets into the question of how brachos work and how they include other things, and is it based off of grera, or is it based off of das, or the like. But it's certainly not pashat that if I have an apple and an orange in front of me, what you're suggesting is I could go ahead and I could have in mind my ha'etz is only on the apple, even though I'm planning to eat the apple and the orange, and then make another bracha on the orange. Now you'll say, okay, it's a ribui brachos issue. It's a ribui brachos shel tzach, but I didn't do a bracha in the shvich at all. That's what you're suggesting. That might be true, but it might not be true. No, shahakol doesn't cover. There's no way that the shahakol covers the orange because that's not the proper brach on the orange. When we say that shahakol works for everything, that only means that if I have in mind to make, if I say shahakol and I have in mind that to say shahakol on an apple, then b'dieved that it works. Even that, not all Rishonim agree. Rashi thinks shahakol only works b'taos on the wrong thing. And also, according to Rashi, it doesn't work begreira. In other words, it only works if you do it on that. That's Machlokas Rashi and Rebbeinu Yonah. But there's no doubt that when I go ahead and I make my shahakol on my orange juice, and I have in mind to drink this orange juice, that's not going to cover my apple.
So what's the point of Seder Akademos?
Because generally, the Seder Akademos is that you should make the more chashev bracha first. And a bracha that's mevureres tfei is more chashev. Now, here you're right, the Seder HaBrachos tells me to say the Ha'etz first, but it could be there are a lot of indications that we would go out of the normal Seder to avoid a Safik Brachos. Much like the Rush we saw earlier, who said that you could make a Shahakol on the water before the meal, Machma Safik, or Machma Chashash even. Okay, now let's take a look at, okay, the Chazon Ish is very important. You should look at it if you want to do the sugya properly. If you have the new Mar Makomas, it's even on the sheets, but you probably have an old Mar Makomas.
So,
So it's whatever the Chazon Ish in my version, but my version might be different than your version.
You have the old version?
Oh, well, I have like, you know, every day there's a new version.
Oh.
It's page 35 in my version.
It's in the old version also.
Oh, yeah?
It's a bit earlier, before the Shulchan.
Very good. Okay. Anyway, now what I would like to do is turn to a very much related question. And that is discussing things like Pringles or applesauce or chocolate or cornflakes. All these questions are, when does a pre-ha'etz or pre-ha'adama turn into shahakol through processing? So this is very similar to the question we've been considering until now. It's a question of shinoi, right? And what kind of shinoi is necessary for something to turn into a shahakol? So that's our question. We're going to begin. And the first sugya to see is on Daf Lamed Chesamid Aleph, where the Gemara asks, what's the bracha of Trima? Somebody asked Rava, what bracha do you make on Trima? Rava didn't quite know what he was talking about, what exactly is Trima. And he had a very intelligent Talmud who asked all sorts of follow-up questions that allowed Rava to understand what Trima is. But if we don't know, we'll just take a look at Rashi. Rashi says, Shem Trima kol davar hakasush kitsas ve'eno merusak. Merusak means, we'll call it pulverized, right? If it's merusak, it's not trima. Presumably, that's certainly a shahakol. But if it's kasush ktsas, if it's ground up slightly, now these things will have to be defined more specifically, but if it's kasush ktsas, then it's trima. And the Gemara says, what bracha do you make on trima? And the conclusion is, v'hilchasa tamri v'avdinu trima, Mevarchan alayhu bayre pri ha'etz. My time up b'milsayhu kaimi k'demekara. These crushed dates are bayre pri ha'etz because they're b'milsayhu kaimi. They retain their original identity. The shinoi is not sufficiently substantial to warrant a shinoi bracha. L'chora, you could be medayik from Rashi, that it's dafka because it's kasush ktsas ve'enu merusak. However, if it was merusak, Rashi would hold what? What bracha would you make on merusak? Seemingly shakol. And the Ritva makes this point explicitly. V'shamina mina detamid b'milsayu kaimi ha nisrasku l'gamrei ad she'avra tzurasan. Important formulation because we're going to come back to that. If there's ibur tzura, usually we talk about ibur tzura in the sugyas of kachim. It comes up in brachos also. If it's avra tzurasan, it's changed significantly from its original state. It's a different tzura. It's, for example, nisrasku. So then you'd make a shakol. Then rachan aleim el shakol. V'zubin yinav l'mashkin hayotim in aperos chutz misesim v'navim she'en dinan kemosan. Then rachan aleim el shakol. This is a raya that all juices are shakol. Takatz the ritual shitaso. Right? In other words, Ritva says, this is a great raya for my theory, if even peirosh and nisrasku are shahakol, so kol shekein, any form of juice, is going to be shahakol. So if we had Rashi and a Ritva, and we stopped here, we would say, let's say something like applesauce. So applesauce is nisrasik. Certainly, we'll talk about chunky applesauce later. Maybe that would be different. But regular, smooth applesauce, so that would be shahakol. It's nisrasik. However, the Rambam seems to disagree. The Rambam writes, Tamarim shemachan biyad v'hotzi gar'inim shalahem v'asam kamo isa. You turn these tamarim into something similar to a dough, a paste. And presumably, even though it's nisrasik lagamre, who told Rashi that Trima is not Nisrasek Lagamrei? Maybe Trima is Nisrasek Lagamrei. And you nevertheless make a Bori Pri Ha'etz. So that is the view of the Rambam. The Rambam says, seemingly, that applesauce would be a Bori Pri Ha'etz. The Orza Ruah not explicitly, but the next source sounds like the Rambam. So all that is the first sugya, the sugya of trima.
Trima is just everything?
Well, what that's the question. What is trima? Rashi says trima is kasush ktsas ve'enu merusak, but the Rambam says that trima is even asa'am kemin kemo'isa.
So everything was a sa'am. Meaning, the question about trima was a question about everything.
Yeah.
There are no two categories.
Right. And it could be that Rambam thought it was pashut, that if it's enu merusak, it would be ha'itz. That wouldn't even be a question. But, correct. For the Rambam, there's no two categories. So that's the first Gemara. The problem is that there's another Gemara. This other Gemara is going to be a problem if you learn like Rashi and the Ritva. It won't be a problem if you learn like the Rambam. Amar Abzeira. Ki havinan bei Rav Huna Amar lan hanigar galidi delifta parminu prima rabba bari priadama prima zuta shakol niyamidvar. So if you cut it up into big pieces, it remains Adama, but if you cut it up into insi binsi pieces, shahakol, v'chiasan l'rev yudamr lan, idi v'idi bari pri Adama, v'hai deparminu prima deparminu tfei, ki hechi denam tik taimei. No, even if you cut it up into tiny pieces, it remains a Hadama. Why? Because it's done ki hechi denam tik taimei, in order to make it sweeter. Sometimes when you cut things up into very small pieces, they taste better, taste sweeter. So, if you learn like the Rambam, this is fine, because this would be ki'ilu asan kaminisa. But what about if you learn like Rashi? Why over here do we say it's hadama? So what would you answer to this question?
Small pieces
versus nisrasku, yeah. Right? Okay, I would have thought that's a great answer. Take a look at the Ritva, though. Deparminu prima. Now, just one ha'ara why you but hesitant to that answer is why is it a machlokes in a Gemara? In other words, why is it according to Rav Huna you make a shahakol on those small pieces? Does that mean that Rav Huna argues with the psak earlier about trima? So that could be a reason why that answer isn't so pashut. Maybe that's why the Ritva.
If there's small pieces, it's already a shahakol. Koshkin, if it's totally small.
I understand, but trima, small pieces, probably, no? Which is not merusak. And trima, we said, is ha'itz, or hadama. So, it's true that the maskana of the Gemara is even small pieces is ha'itz or hadama, but there was a machlokas. So the Ritva, anyway, doesn't give that answer. Again, the Ritva is going to have the kasha, because the Ritva learned like Rashi in the first sugya of Trima, and here the Ritva says as a deparminu pirmi ravravi bari priadama pirmi zutri peru shachatchan kol kachatichais ktanos ad shavr tu rasan. So that was the same word that the Ritva used where? With Trima, right? So we're talking about such tiny pieces that there's avra tu rasan. So we're talking about the same mitzias as trima in terms of degree of shinoi. And what does the Ritva say? Mevarich shahakol. Again, this is the first opinion in the Gemara. Dekol she'avra tzurasan ve'en gufo kayam ein din birkaso alav, like the conclusion from trima. But what about the other opinion? What about Rev Yehuda? V'hai deparminu tfei mishum amtuke taimahu perush ve'en zahavaris tzura kevan shu ose l'sakein bishulon u'le'achshiran. Zot the Ritva, that even though, yes, you did these into such tiny pieces that physically avra tzurasan, in other words, they're no longer recognizable, there's been a major change, but nevertheless, halachically, we don't view this as havaras tzura, because your purpose is l'saken bishulan. In other words, the Ritva is saying it depends why you cut something up. Why are you merasek this? If you cut it up, ki hechi delimtek taime, to make it taste better, to improve it, so then it doesn't lose its bracha, it remains ha'itzar adama. This is reminiscent of the Rabbeinu Yonah, for example, that we saw yesterday, who says that when you change something's form, if it's ishtani l'mal yusa, then it retains its bracha, l'grei yusa it doesn't. That seems to be the understanding of the Ritva. Now, you can't bring a raya from the Ritva to Rashi. Maybe Rashi will hold to the answer that you suggested, that still, any time it's nisrasku, even if it's lamtuke taima, it's going to be a shahakol. So Rashi's unclear. And in fact, the Trumas HaDeshen probably learns Rashi more, like you. The Trumas HaDeshen was asked, what bracha do you make on latvirga, which seems to me to be a type of jelly that, not jelly that has a chunky jelly, right, where there's big pieces of fruit, the cheap types of jelly. I don't know what, that might just have Tom Peros. I'm not actually sure how that's made. But jelly where there isn't nicker any fruit or that made the jelly. So, says...
Does color count as nicker? No?
Pashtus, no.
We're talking about tzur.
Yeah, we'll talk about whether texture counts as nicker. And, but I don't think color counts as nicker. So, says the Trumas HaDeshen Shuva, I think that you should make a ha'etz on this jelly. And he brings up actually another sugya, which we didn't see. This is talking about ginger. And apparently they would cut ginger. This was like crushed ginger, ground ginger, that was no longer discernible. And yet the proper bracha is Borei Pri Hadama. Oh, so you see that even if something is totally changed, it retains its bracha. But the Trumas HaDeshen says that contradicts the Sugya of Trima, where Rashi says if it's Nisrasek, then the halacha is that it's Shahakol. So what's the din? He quotes the Kitzer Piske HaRash, what he calls the Ashiri Katan, which is written by the Tur, Bahida Trima de Kasa Vizal, Tamarim Vavdinu Trima Perish Merusakim Me'at, like Rashi. So then he says, well, according to Rashi, then on this type of jelly, you should make a Shahakal. And he goes back and forth, and he makes the following suggestion. He says, why is it that the ginger and the spices are ha'etz or hadama, and the trima, or why is it that if it's, we'll say applesauce, if it's nisrasek et shahakol? A great answer. It says it depends whether it's the derech or not. If it's the derech to grind it into very, very fine pieces, right? So much that they're nisrasek, right? For example, a cinnamon, or ginger, or now, you know, with sushi they have pieces of ginger, but in those days they ground the ginger, or chocolate, cocoa powder, right? If the derech is to totally crush it, even into the smallest pieces, it doesn't lose its bracha, because this is the way you prepare it. You could probably say this might be similar to Mtuke Taima, though he doesn't make that sushdal. Any time it's not the derech, so then it's shahakol. So applesauce would be shahakol, and this jelly might still be shahakol. But just to look at the bottom line over here, ma she'ein kein bedavar acher she'ein darko lios tadir moch murusak, it's going to be shahakol. And when is it going to be ha'etzer adama? When it's darko lios tadir moch murusak. So it's a very high threshold. It needs to be tadir moch murusak for it not to learn lose the bracha. But then he sort of hesitates a little at the end. V'afal pishein elu chilukim brurim li. In other words, I made up this chilak. Who says it's right? I'm not so sure about it. Mikol makom lo yasu el safek v'davar. At the very least, it will be a safek u'pasku rababsa dekol hecho de'ekas feka bracha v'shona mevarach shachon yabedvari sh'al kol sh'amar shachon yabedvari yat. So therefore, misafek make a shahakol on this jelly. The Beis Yosef doesn't like this Trumas HaDeshen for a couple of reasons, but one point that the Beis Yosef is not even so sure that the Rambam argues with Rashi. The Trumas HaDeshen assumes that he is, because he holds of the Diuk, Dafka, if it's Lo Nisrasku. The Beis Yosef is uncertain. So how do we paskin? So the Shulchan Aruch writes, Simon Reish Beis Siv Zayin. Tamarim shemiyachan biyad v'asameyam yisa v'otimeyan garinehem. So this is the Rambam's trima, right? You crush up some fruit and turn it into isa. Afilu hachi lo nishtani spir kastam nevarich alein bori priya eitz. Paskins like the Rambam. Not surprising, the Mechaber paskins like the Rambam. Uluvasov, brachamachos mein shalosh. Haga. Now this Ramah is very unclear. Ulefize, hu adin bilitvarin hanikra pavilda. Mevarchim aleihem bori prihait. B'yesh omrim. Right, so that is what the Truma Sadeshen was talking about. V'yesh omrim levarich aleihem shakol. So we saw the Truma Sadeshen says you make a shakol. V'tov lachos l'chatchil levar shakol. So l'chatchila we follow the Trumas Hadeshen. Avalim birich borei pri ha'etz yatza. But if you made your borei pri ha'etz on your jelly, it would be yote b'diavad ki chen nira ikr. In other words, it seems like he's saying, Mikra, didn't we really paskin like the Rambam? So what is the Rama saying? So there's a big machlokas. More or less, to summarize and simplify, the Magen Avraham writes that the Rama is not arguing on the Mechaber. The Rama is, when does the Rama say you make hakol? Only if it's nimucho legamrei. Only if it's ibed kol tsuraso, velo nikar klal mahu. So, for example, Pringles, let's say. There's no way to, we all know that Pringles come from potatoes, right? At least that's what we believe. But I would imagine that if somebody didn't know that information and you gave them a Pringle in the middle of a meal after Hamotzi, right? So he wouldn't be able to figure out, unless he has a high degree of food expertise, that this is necessarily coming from a potato. Not like a regular potato chip. Regular potato chip, it's sliced and fried. That's certainly Hadama. But a Pringle where it's turned into potato flour, potato starch, and then recreated in a different shape, I don't know if you would guess. So that would be an example where the Rama's arguing. In other words, the Rama's only arguing if it's Ibid kol tsuraso velo nikar klal mahu. And therefore, the Rama would agree with the Rambam that tamarim shenisrasku are going to be ha'etz as long as it's nikar ta'aran v'tsurasan. So that is the first reading of the Rama. The Rama only says you make a shahakol if it's ibed kol tsuraso legamri lo nikar klal. The second reading is the Gra. There's, I think, a lot of evidence for this. That no, the Rama is arguing with the Rambam. He holds like Rashi. And at least you should be choshish for Rashi. And therefore, any time it's nisrasik legamre, even if it is nikar tsura, you make a shakol, according to the Rama, right? So this is a big nafgamina. If you have something which is nimuach legamre, but nikar tsura, what's an example of that? Mashed potatoes. So not chunky mashed potatoes. Mashed potatoes from the cafeteria. Okay. So the truth is that I saw Shlomo Zalman and Rav Yashiv are both quoted as saying, still, it doesn't matter that it came from powder. It's the texture is still there. Or the like. So something that is nicker, but nisrasek legamre, still, the halacha is, you would make ha'itzer adama if you follow the first view, but not if you follow the second view. So how do we pass on the ma'isa? Big machlokas acharon and what the Rambam means. So the Mishnah Berurah writes, "Uladina ein nafkamina b'zeh de'af im neima de'ayesh omrim palag al gam atmarm shenisrasku." Now, even if you learn like the Gra, mikol ma'akom la'alacha kaim alon k'das mechaber de'echa shemim shemamashan kayam lo nishtani spir chasan. Now, as we saw, the Rambam mikra didn't hold like the mechaber. V'rak Bipavidla she avad kol turaso velo nikar klau. Mahu az lechatchila mevarch shehakol lukach ras arama. The bebrachas uyotze ala kol b'diavet. So it comes out the Mishnah Berurah says alach lemaisa that if it is totally unrecognizable, then lechatchila you make a shehakol, though b'diavet hadamar eitz would work. And if it's nisrasek lagamre, but still recognizable as the original thing, then it remains a ha'etzar adama. Now, the Mishnah Berurah continues to point out that this is great for your question of bore pri, the bracha rishona, that you could say you make a shahakol misafek. What about if it's from the shivas aminim, like these tamarim, shemiyachan, and let's say you, I've seen actually in ingredient labels, they have something now called date flour. So let's say you had date flour. You had a date flour cake. So the bracha rishona would then be shahakol, according to the Mishnah Berurah, right? But the bracha achrona, whoa, now we have a big shaila. What do you do in that case? So the Mishnah Berurah says, there we don't have the option of making bray nefashos, like we talked about before. Bray nefashos is not a bracha kol alas. So he says, you have no choice but to make a me'ein shalosh. He says, ideally, because this is a suffix, you should really try to be motzi it with something else, get some type of other me'ein shalosh and another bray nefashos. But if you had no other choice, you would make me'ein shalosh, because mikra din, we paskin like the Rambam. So that's what the Mishnah Berurah says. Rav Moshe Feinstein actually has an interesting tshuva on this, Yeradeya Beis Chaf Hei, where he says, isn't that a tarti desasri to make a shahakol as a bracha rishona and an al ha'etz as a bracha achrona? So he says, no, he doesn't think it's a tarti desasri because technically shahakol works b'diavad for everything. He takes for granted that you couldn't have a, if it was a true tarti desasri, you wouldn't be right. We don't do tarti desasri b'vas achas, but here it's not really, but he says, ideally you should try to avoid this. Try to find some other heights, because it's a shtickle tarti desasri. Anyway, so let's talk about some practical examples. So one example is cornflakes. We don't have time now because we're running late, but I was looking into the mitzias of how cornflakes are made, and there's a tremendously funny story about how cornflakes were initially invented. You know the story? The person that started it, Mr. Kellogg, worked at a home for insane people. He was in charge of the food. And he had a theory that these people, if you give them anything but the most bland of foods, they're going to get stirred up and cause problems. So he's trying to come up with the most bland of foods. And accidentally, he messed up with his corn, and then he put it through a roller because he was hoping to get corn flour or corn dough, and it turned out to be flakes. And he didn't want to throw it out, so he served it to the patients. Everybody loved it. And that's how cornflakes were invented. So that's an important story, because that's how Kellogg's cornflakes continue to be made today. They basically take corn and they puff it up a little bit, with water, or they use big corns, and they basically just put through a roller. A cornflake is a smushed corn. So therefore, the Chuvas or Letzion says it's Adama. It's just smushed corn. Whereas if you have cornflakes that are made out of corn flour, so then it's lo nikar tzurasan klal, and therefore you'd make a shahakol. I believe Telma cornflakes, for example, are shahakol. That's what the Or Letzion holds. And I thought that's what I always did. I saw today Tshuva the Shevet Halevi, Chelek Ches Simen Lamed Vav. Not 100% sure what he's saying, but I think he says you make a shahakol on all cornflakes, because even though it's true, it wasn't nisrasek, but it's lo nikar tzura klal. It doesn't matter why it's lo nikar tzura klal. So this happens to be lo nikar tzura klal because it was smushed till it's very thin, and then it was toasted. But again, if you gave somebody cornflakes who never heard of cornflakes and never knew of cornflakes, they know what corn is. Native American from 400 years ago, they eat corn all the time, and you gave them a bowl of cornflakes, do you think they would figure out that these cornflakes came from corn? No.
Are you allowed to use taste in determining whether it's nicker or not?
So it's a good question. You were saying it makes sense that taste should be a factor. Here, I'm not even sure that they would have that taste. But it seems like the primarily we look at texture or appearance. Now, Rabbi Bodner points out that something that's only recognizable due to its texture, even though the pieces aren't physically visible and recognizable, it does retain its bracha. And that's why he says mashed potatoes, even if it's nisrasku, or bananas, mushed banana, right? Even if it's totally nisrasik, like baby food. Still, he says its texture makes it hadama. So then I thought, like peanut butter should be a hadama. But he says, no, peanut butter doesn't have a recognizable texture. Not sure where you draw the line. It was recognizable exactly. It's recognizable in the sense that it's different from every other food. But there's you can't tell that it's from a peanut. Again, if you gave peanut butter to someone who never knew of peanut butter, he wouldn't necessarily figure that it comes from peanuts, even if he knows what peanuts are.
Except for the crunchy.
Crunchy peanut butter for sure.
Right.
If you have to help by looking at it, so texture shouldn't be an issue.
No, texture or looking. Either one.
No, I'm saying
Snicker.
Why is texture worse than taste?
I hear what you're saying.
Why is texture better than taste?
I don't even know if taste, you would have taste. In other words, would these things be nicker just because of the taste? Okay. I don't think peanut butter would be nicker because of the taste. Again, if you've never had peanut butter before and you never knew of its association with peanuts.
Well, natural peanut butter, which doesn't have all the other things.
Even still, natural peanut butter. I've had natural peanut butter. I think I don't know, B.H. Ludden, but it's not clear, certainly. In terms of mashed potatoes, so as I said, that's pretty clear from the Mishnah Berurah already make a Hadamah. Rav Shlomo Zalman and Rav Elyashiv, it's quoted in Rabbi Bodner on page 239, say you make Hadamah. And they think because it's the texture returns when it's resuscitated. Rav Elyashiv has a tshuva bat latkes. He says they are hadama. Potato kugel also. Could be carrot kugel, no?
All potato kugels?
Well, you're saying if it's you think there's some potato kugels and maybe
puree
first. Totally pureed it. And it's low nicker tzura klal.
Yeah, it's what's like homemade, which is like stringy.
So if it's low nicker klal...
No, but this time it's low garden mashed potatoes, no?
Well, I'm saying, but they're assuming that you're saying they're wrong in the Metzius. The mashed potatoes are low nicker klal as well. I thought like you a little bit. I thought those like the mashed potatoes that come from the powder. I would have thought that's low nicker klal also. So it's hard to know for these things, but that's what they say. It's applesauce, so they say that if it's unstrained, it's ha'etz, and strained, it's shahakol.
Is it possible to just say that nikkur means whether we know what it is or not? Or if we know
if you could figure out what it is, without knowing from other things.
There's no basis in halacha to say that. The mice and others may know where things come from.
No, because then the Gemara is asking, when the Gemara asked about Trima, and the Gemara asked about all these questions... So the Gemara, the people that made it, they knew what it was made for. And we still said, since it's not nicker. And the answer is because once there's a shinoi that's so significant that it's no longer nicker, see, that's why I think even if you're right, even in these things, even if we follow taste, once the shinoi is so substantial that the original product is no longer nicker, that's such a big shinoi that it loses its bracha. Now, as we saw already from the Trumas HaDeshen, there's one very big exception to this. What's the exception? The exception is if it's always made this way. And the Mishnah Berurah even says Rov, if you look at the next source. Vim Rov derech achilasan, achilas osan peros, hu al yidei risuk, af lechatchila mevarech, berchaso ha-re'uya, bein le'inyin bari priya adama, bein le'inyin bari priya eit, melvin vazom edluin, shekorin kibras. He gives examples. And likewise, the Shulchan Aruch says this in Simen Reish Gimel, Besamim shchukim u'me'uravim im sukar. They used to sometimes grind up spices and mix them with sugar. So the besamim are the ikar, yumar varich, whatever the bracha would be on a besamim, bari pi'etz or bari pi'adama.
So So this part of the Truma's definition of Shulchan Aruch does pass in.
Right. Saying there's no basis, but it's Manav Shach, it's true. If you hold like the Rambam, it's true, and if you hold of Rashi, it's true. So who would disagree with this? Hold of the Rambam, it never loses its bracha, even if it's Nisasik, Lagamrei, Vechulai. There's certainly no basis for saying that. And if you hold like Rashi, so that you have to say the Truma's definition is Chiluk. The Mishnah Berurah makes this point explicitly. Hainu af chem shchukim v'nimuchim legamri ad she'ein nikar b'hem taran arishon klal. Right? There's nothing left. Afilu achi lo nishtanis perchasana dezel kulei alma dederach ha'besamim lichtosh ba'open zeh. Okay. So, there's an interesting discussion about tchina quoted in the Mishnah Berurah. Tchina is made from sesame seeds that are nitchanu lagamrei and chare lo nikar tzurasan. So he says that you should make a shahakol, but the Evan Ozer says you make adama. So why would you make adama? What's the Evan Ozer thinking? Is he going back to, is he passing like the Rambam? It's a little strange. So I looked up the Evan Ozer, and he gives a fascinating reason. He quotes this Gemara in Lamed Vav Amud Aleph, Yavanim or Koros. The Gemara basically says, we'll have to summarize. The Gemara says, what bracha do you make on flour? Now, it's not very normal to eat flour raw, but let's say you did. Chlokas Rishonim, what type of flour we're talking about. But let's say you ate raw flour. So the Gemara says, Bori Pri Hadama. Ah, one second. You should make a, why? Because it's flour. You're not going to make mazonos yet, obviously, but when the wheat kernels are whole, you make Hadama. And just because you ground them up, they don't lose the bracha. And what's the raya for this? The raya is olive oil. The halacha mikra din of olive oil, if you could come up with an appropriate way of drinking it, is ha'etz. So you see that even though it's changed in process, it retains its bracha. So the Gemara says, no, you make a shahakol, maybe you make a shahakol on flour. Why? Because islay iluya achrina bepas. This is the potential part we talked about yesterday. This can turn into pas and therefore shahakol. So it says the Evan Ozer, ah, you see, if not for Islay Luya Achrina Bepas, you would make a Hadama on flour. So too, when you turn sesame seeds into sesame flour, which is how you basically make tchina, you turn the seeds and sesame seeds into sesame flour, and then you get this flour, and then you add in some water and other stuff, then that's how they make the tchina most of the time. It comes in like this can of flour-type product. You could probably make it straight from the...
I think around sesame seeds you get tchina directly. It's because it's
if
oily.
If you get a tchina... Well, one second. We'll get to that in a second. But that's the... So then you would make a adam according to the Evan Ozer. Sataka. Wow. So Evan Ozer has a great raya. What's the Mishnah Berurah talking about? What's all the Rishonim talking about? But then I chapped. It's not a raya at all. Because what are we talking about over there? We're talking about things that are all made lakach, that are tadir. The primary use of wheat is to crush into flour, and oil, and olives is to make into olive oil. So you can't bring a raya to there, from there to tchina, unless you say that tchina is primarily, sesames are primarily ground, in which case the Mishnah Berurah would agree. So what are they arguing about? So the answer is, Evan Ozer is takashver. And the Mishnah Berurah is talking about, you don't make sesames just into flour. So, but that's, and the Evan Ozer Shver. So I saw, I don't know if this is exactly the pshat, but there's a tshuva that Rav Moshe writes, you have it over here. What bracha do you make on rechina kasha, which is buckwheat? Kasha is buckwheat. I don't think rechina changes it. It's still buckwheat. So buckwheat is nothing to do with wheat, by the way. It's not related to wheat at all. It's not even a grass. It's a According to Wikipedia, it's closely related to rhubarb. But anyway, it's a plant cultivated for its grain-like seeds. So, what bracha do you make on kasha? So he says you make a hadama. Why? Because it's not crushed entirely. Right? Hine atam hu debirechin akasha ha hu mishum shekein derech lachol kimefurish b'shari tshuva. Ah. And moreover, even if it is totally ground up into flour, but that's the derech. And we saw that anything that's the derech is fine. Right? Uveshumshim, ein derech l'ochon kach, mashein ken tchina, that's not the derech. Dea tchina hu laso shemen, velo b'shvil hachila. Very interesting. In other words, it's true, most sesame seeds are crushed. But why are they crushed? They're crushed to make oil. And the not for tchina purposes. The lachain, kevan she'ein surasan alein mevarach shahakol amagan avram. Saying, that's the machlokas. Magan avram says you make a shahakol because, yes, these are primarily crushed, but they're crushed for the purpose of making oil, so they're shahakol. And the Eben Ozer says, no, since they're crushed, the derech is to crush them, so then it's hadama. So we paskin like the Magan Avram, the Mishnah Berurah, therefore, tchina shahakol, though the Moshe says it's a safek, and therefore ideally you shouldn't eat tchina alone. Luckily, tchina is almost never eaten alone, so it's not such a shayla. However, the ikar shayla that everybody wonders about when they learn this sugya is chocolate. What bracha is made on chocolate? So Rav Moshe's a tshuva about raisinets. We'll talk about it when we do ikar and tafel. And he says you have to make two brachos on raisinets, a ha'etz on the raisin and a shakal on the chocolate. Ah, so you see Rav Moshe holds that you make shakal on chocolate. Maybe you can't bring such a raya from that.
Does he make pastry?
No, he doesn't. No. That's Rav Shlomo Zalman's chap. But Rav Moshe didn't say that. Tshuva's right here. He says, Acher kach yivarech. Oh, you're right. V'im yesh lo gam tzimukin she'en mechufin o shar min ha'etz yivarech al tzimukin tchila o al min ha'etz v'acher kach yivarech al ha'shokolad shahakol. Okay. So anyway, we'll get to that ikar tafel sugyas later on. But anyway, you see that Mesiach Lefitumo, he told us that the bracha on chocolate is shahakol, as if you didn't know that. But the question is why? So maybe you can't bring such a raya from this Rav Moshe. Why? Because most chocolate has a lot, is minority cocoa. It has lots of sugar and oil and milk, if it's milk chocolate and the like. So it's not so hard to understand. Even that isn't so posh. But that we could understand a little more why a Hershey Kiss is going to be shahakol. But what about nowadays? It's very popular ever since the chocolate was declared healthy. That a couple of years ago, to have these very dark, bitter chocolates. And they say on the front, 72% cocoa, 86% cocoa. So you know it's mamish rov cocoa. So l'chora, for sure, that should be heights. Aye, it's nisrasik l'gamri and lo nicker. Who cares? It's a derech l'kach. Nobody eats cocoa beans, right? And we saw that the Shulchan Aruch writes meforish that anything that it's the derech to crush it up entirely retains its bracha. So what possible reason can there be to not make ha'etz on such chocolate? So everybody tries very hard to be miyashev the minug. So there's a tshuva here from Rav Shlomo Zalman. So first he says, maybe the reason for the shahakol, if it's a minority ingredient, is because most foods that use cocoa powder as the minority, whether it's cake or chocolate or the like. And therefore, the cocoa powder is not so chashuv, and therefore, it's not koveh the bracha. So that helps again for the Hershey Kiss. Then he says, that isn't so pashut, because achadayin tamua, shaharei mevuar, shegam al kinomin, shchukim, sheochlin im tzukar, mevarachin bori priya eitz, kamosh kasav ataz in a Mishnah Berurah, even though you put more sugar than cinnamon. In other words, they used to eat cinnamon and sugar. That would be like a sweet snack. Now, when you mix cinnamon and sugar, if you ever try it, you put much more sugar than cinnamon. Otherwise, it wouldn't be so tasty. And yet, the Mishnah Berurah in the Taz says that since the cinnamon is the ikar, you make a ha'etz. So, certainly, chocolate as well. The lachain tzarchin gadol, the akopanim, osam shem me'arvim koko im sukar, yachad, v'ochlin nirishim harov hu koko, tzrichin vadai levarich bari pri ha'etz, sheharei lo nefach ledavar acher, v'domim mamish lungvar. So if you just mix your cocoa with sugar, you definitely make ha'etz, if it's majority cocoa. Would he say that chocolate that's 80% cocoa? He doesn't say it explicitly because he's talking about mixing the sugar with cocoa powder, 80% cocoa powder. But it stands to reason he would probably say this. I would ask Rabbi Willig, what bracha you make this morning on Shachlis HaShachlis? What if it's rov cocoa? So he hears you can make haitz. There's a yishuv for the minug in of Shahakol and the Shevet HaLevi. But again, it's not going to help for our case. He says Hashokolad eno koko tachun naki belvad, right? Ella, it's late. Ella tasel shel tol koko harbi chemas koko. You add cocoa butter. And I don't know why that makes a difference.
Same thing.
Because it comes from the cocoa. Yeah, I didn't understand that. Va'od minim shenasimem tavshil kazeh shekshi yikrash lo tzura shokolad detchinas koko atzmo k'tas mar v'zeh lo dibra poskim. So he quotes here that Rav Shlomo Zalman in the show assumed that Rav Shlomo Zalman Rav Yashik both say you make ha'etz on chocolate. He says, no, you could still make a shahakol. But again, his logic wouldn't apply if it's rove cocoa. There's a tshuva here from the Mishnah Lachos also, and he's miyashiv the minhag in the same way. Ktsas haya nira liyashiv od minhaka olam alibi dehilchasa ki be'emes ha-shokoladi ein derech la'ochlo kemo shehu alim sukar mituval umut'am upam shesukar be'emes ha-rov ve'alol shokoladi. He says the chocolate, the reason why you make a shahakal on chocolate is the shokoladi elik e no sein tam umare or kolpanim tzev zegorim. But again, these rationales, none of them apply to the chocolates which are majority cocoa. So it's very hard to understand why you would do that. Rav Shlomo Zalman just makes a practical point, and this would be true for all chocolate, even the Hershey Kiss, that if you're going to have chocolate together with the Bari Pri Ha'etz, like we said before, make sure you make your shahakol first on your chocolate. In other words, you're having chocolate together with an apple, so make a shahakol on your chocolate and ha'etz on your apple, because if you make a ha'etz on your apple, then you could not make a shahakol on the chocolate anymore because it's a safek brachos. And that's true even with the milk chocolate, kol shekein balachas kam v'kama, if it's on those the dark chocolates, the extra dark chocolates. Not Hershey's extra dark chocolate. Yeah. The cheap extra dark chocolates are still lav davka rov, but the fancier ones.
Is it possible to say that maybe the minhag of making chocolate is really assuming that chocolate is this mixture and it's only toast to make it on...
Yes, that's not a reasonable point. I would still be scared to make a ha'etz, but I think that's a reasonable theory. The haraya, all the poskim that are miyashiv the minhag, are only miyashiv the minhag based off of the fact that it's rov, not cocoa.
I mean, how's any worse than deciding that pizza nowadays is hamotzi? Because the styles, cultural patterns have changed and people are kaveh suda on pizza nowadays.
Well, that's a little different. I don't know if there's ever a mistake, but you're correct. The halacha is, if it's a minhag tos, then you don't continue it. In other words, if it turns out that the minhag is based off of a tos, so then it's a minhag tos. So I would, if you don't like the extra dark chocolates, then you're in much better shape. Yes?
Going back to cornflakes, sorry.
Yeah.
I heard there was a difference between regular cornflakes and Kellogg's cornflakes.
That's what we said. In other words, that was from the Or Lizion made that distinction, that what Kellogg's cornflakes would be hadama, according to Or Lizion, because they're just rolled. They're corns that are rolled really thin and then toasted. So as opposed to cornflakes, which are made out of corn flour, like Telma cornflakes, which, since it's nisrasek legamre, is shahakol. Slow nicker to that. But not everybody accepts that. Yeah.
Is Or Lizion Rebetin
Abishol?
No. No, they're
it's a different Or Lizion. He's called the Or Lizion also?
Yeah.
This is a Hilchos Brachos. You could see it in. I'll check. I looked it up in the biography in the Bar Ilan who he was, and it wasn't him. I'll tell you tomorrow. Not tomorrow. Oh, that reminds me. So the Ezra Hashem. So we're going to have Shir. A lot of people aren't here today. Some of them. So I'll put up a sign on Sunday. But we'll have Shir Sunday, 4:45 to 5:30.
This coming Sunday.
This coming Sunday.
4:45.
4:45. Okay. Have a wonderful Shabbos.
By the way, just